Were you drafted or did you enlist for World War
I? Drafted.
When? How did you feel about that?
I wanted to get in before, but my mother was putting the kick about. I wanted to enlist, but she didn't want me to. She said, you'll be in soon enough anyway.
So what was your training experience at Camp Custer like?
Well, we was only there 3 weeks in Camp Custer, and some of the guys that was in along quite a while before said we got more training in 3 weeks than they did in 6 months, in their first 6 months of training.
How did you become a machine gunner?
When we got in Camp Custer, they asked us, an officer came to where we were inducted, and he said, described the company, and he said it's one of the most dangerous companies in the outfit, and he wanted volunteers. Well, I was one of them.
Was your training at Camp Custer, did that adequately prepare you in that 3 weeks for Russia?
No, we didn't know anything about going to Russia really till we were in England. Then some officer from another outfit, I think it was an English officer, came and said something about, give us a few pointers on a very cold climate. And he didn't tell us then we was going to Russia, he just gave us a few pointers on your care in a very cold climate. And that's about the first inkling we had of where we were going.
Did you continue training while you were in England?
Yes, just hiking. Hiking and studying our machine guns. We had machine gun schools there that we studied the machine guns. We had to learn to take those machine guns apart blindfolded. If anything happened that the gun stopped, we had to be able to take that gun apart, repair it, and get it in action again, blindfolded.
So would you say then that when you did get to Russia, you were prepared for manning the machine gun there?
To a certain extent, yes, because they took the guns that we were trained on away from us and gave us different guns that we never had seen before. And the guys were set out on the front lines with those guns that they never had seen before and had to figure them out how to fire them. They fired all together different. The guns we had here had a pistol grip. You grabbed it just like you would a pistol. That gun had, what was that?
And a picture.
That gun that we had there, we had to have both hands on it like that. And then instead of a trigger, you pushed a button with the thumbs to fire it. And they had to figure that out there in the front lines.
So you didn't know that until when you got to Russia, you really hadn't been trained for anything like what
Not
you experienced.
Not for that kind of guns at all.
Did you have Vickers guns or Lewis guns?
We had the Vickers.
Uh-huh.
We had the Vickers.
How did they work?
Well, that's the ones that we had to use both hands on to fire them.
Did they require antifreeze?
Yes, we used glycerin in them. They were water-cooled gun. You can imagine using a water-cooled gun up in that climate where it got down to, well, it was for 12 straight weeks. It never got above 50 below zero. And using a water-cooled gun.
So how did you deal with that?
We used glycerin in them. And at night, many times, there was three of us slept together. And we'd take them guns between us in the bed to keep them from freezing up.
Strange bedfellows.
That was a good bed part.
Going back to England, what ship did you sail to Russia on? Do you remember?
I could say it. I should be able to say it. Somali, I believe.
Uh-huh. What was that voyage like?
The what?
What was that voyage like? The voyage on the ship to Russia.
Well, that going to Russia wasn't too bad, but coming out of Russia was pretty rough. But going up to Russia wasn't too awful bad. It was on a cattle boat, is what it was. What it was used before for a cattle boat. And same as the one we came from Russia back to France on.
Was there an epidemic of the Spanish flu on the boat?
I landed in Russia with the flu.
Uh-huh.
And went right in the hospital. And I don't know just how long I was in the hospital, but I was in the hospital sometime with the flu. The hospital was just an old, well, what we'd use for a hay barn. And that's what the our hospital, where we were hospitalized in. And we had to get in there, and we had to, the sick men had to go out and hunt up wood and things to build a fire to warm the barracks up when we got there. And it was raining, and they had to get out and hunt up the wood themselves to build a fire in them stoves to warm it up so we could keep warm in there. After they got it, after they got the fire going, they just lined up in a line and marched around inside the building to keep warm until the fire got to going so they could get it warmed up.
Was the medical care at the hospital, was it adequate? Did you have enough medicine?
They didn't have. They knew there was medicine down on the dock, but we was under English command,
mm-hmm.
and they couldn't get the medicine.
Why not?
We was under English command. The English had it, but we didn't.
They wouldn't let. They wouldn't give it to the Americans? Is that what you mean?
The Americans couldn't get it.
Oh.
And liquor was, among the officers, was free. They had lots of that. But medicine, nothing.
How about doctors at the hospital? Were there enough of them there?
The what?
Were there enough doctors at the hospital to care for the patients?
We had a pretty good doctor if he'd had the medicine.
Uh-huh.
Pretty good doctor and orderlies. We had pretty good orderlies. But they couldn't get the medicine to treat that flu.
Did you catch the flu on the boat?
I must have, because I had it when we landed there.
What kind of medical supplies did they have on the boat?
Well, that I couldn't tell you. I don't know.
Well, were you treated on the
there
boat?
There were just a couple of days that I was headed on the boat.
Okay.
And I don't know if we got any medicine while I was on the boat.
What you looking for?
Huh? Nothing. Oh, I was looking for that Russian book, that boy we went to Russia. There's an article in there about medicines.
The little one.
This is our family history. That one. There's an article in here somewhere about the medication up there. And I probably won't be able to find it now since when I wanted it. And I know there was What a Cool Guns in Arctic.
Yeah.
There's an article about that.
Yeah, I just read that.
And has some birch bark that came from Russia.
Yeah.
Men laid on hard floors died. There's an article about that in here. And death, misfortune, and hardships. Even oil froze solid. I probably won't be able to find that now and when I want it. There's a little poem that one of the guys wrote. When the Lord is designing creation and laying our ocean and land.
I read that poem, it's pretty funny.
You read it?
Yeah, I read it in another book.
No, it'd be hard for me to find that.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It's not that
important.
That's a picture of a Douglas fir tree home in a Douglas fir log.
Uh-huh. Look at that.
Well, anyway, I probably won't be able to find find that, so.
Or she said
that's not that important.
Okay. When you were in England and they never really told you then there that you were going to Russia, they just said cold.
Never told
weather.
Us, they just told us we were going to a very cold climate and kind of prepared our minds for that. And
where had you thought you were going before that?
We figured it was going to France.
Uh-huh.
To the big show. Well, we got a little sideshow.
When did you first know for sure that you were going to Russia?
I guess when we was on the ship or when we landed up there, something of that sort.
How much did you know about Russia at that time?
Nothing to speak of. Just nothing. Nothing to speak of that we knew about Russia, only what we got in our schooling.
Uh-huh. Did you know anything about Bolshevism at all?
Nothing. Not till we got there.
Did they give you any lectures or dispense any information to tell you about Bolshevism or Russia?
They did after we got up there.
Uh-huh.
They gave us some lectures on that.
Do you remember what they said?
No, I can't tell you what they said, but
did they tell you at all why you were fighting in Russia?
They were trying to establish an Eastern Front to relieve the pressure on the Western Front.
Uh-huh.
That was the idea that they gave us. And then we had big stores of ammunition up there in Russia, and we were supposed to go up there and guard that ammunition. The only way we could get it was to go out and have the Bolsheviks shoot it back at us, because they had it all.
When you arrived in Archangel, do you remember how the peasants reacted to the troops?
Well, I landed in the hospital, but as far as I know, the people themselves weren't too bad, as far as I know. But I landed in the hospital, and I was in the hospital for probably a couple of weeks. And doctor did the cooking for the people in the hospital. And that was right across the street from where we were at. And I was pretty much for sick. I was, I had a fever of 103, 104 or better. And I'd eat what they brought to me, but I couldn't exist on what they brought to me then. That was for a bed patient. I'd get up every day as sick as I was and go across the street, and there they fed good if I could get across there. I got across there in the hospital, or in the kitchen there, or the mess hall, and there we got a good meal of roast beef or roast pork and all those things we got there, if we could get over there to get it.
Uh-huh. But the food in the hospital that you were in was not very good.
The food we got there was good, what we got. But they didn't bring us enough, a little bit of toast and tea and things like that.
Which hospital was that?
It was just an improvised hospital that they had for us when we got up there. Just like a big old hay barn is what it was. And
across the street, what hospital was that?
I couldn't say. I can't remember all of that up there.
Was that a British hospital or an American one?
It was, I think it was an American doctor that we had, but it wasn't really a hospital. It was just a big building, a storage building of some kind.
Yeah, that was the one you were in, right?
That's where we were in, yes.
And where did you get the good food across the street?
Right across the street in a place where the doctor was doing the cooking.
It was just a kitchen?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. When were you sent to the front? Right after you were released from the hospital?
It was shortly before Christmas. I spent Christmas on the front lines. I think we were on our way to the front lines on Thanksgiving Day, and then we spent Christmas up in the front lines.
Were you in the hospital up until the point where you left for the front?
Pretty much. Pretty close to the time that I left for the front. I went back to the company, and right away after that we were shipped out to the front lines.
And where were you sent? Was it to Kodesh?
Kodesh. And then later on, we were in Kodesh, I can't tell you how long, but we were in Kodesh for quite a while. They burned the town down while we were there. And then we came back to Archangel, we was back in Archangel for a short time for rest. Then we went back on the railroad front. Then I was stationed on the railroad front. Then we came back from there and went, then after that when we came home. I was just on those two fronts. I wasn't into the worst fronts. Some of the other fronts were much worse than the ones I was in.
Well, I've always heard that the Kodesh front was the worst.
Well, that was bad.
Except for the Denga fight.
Yeah, that was bad.
That aside from that, the Kodesh was the worst. That's what everybody tells us.
Yeah, it was bad. That's where I was on the Kodesh front, and I was on the railroad front. Some of the others had such long marches just out through the wilderness, through the wild woods. Well, it took us, I think, 2 days to march, to travel by foot from where, from the railroad, where we left the railroad to get out to the Kodesh front. If I remember right, it was about 2 days of that.
Mm-hmm. What were your first instructions when you went out there? What was your first job?
That is hard to tell. We were just sent out there and set up behind the machine guns to in action. That's about it.
Whose command were you under?
Whose command? Captain Kenyon was our captain, and my lieutenant was I had just seen his picture in that book.
Would it have been O'Callaghan?
O'Callaghan.
Was it O'Callaghan?
Jack O'Callaghan.
Okay.
Yeah. And the guy that compiled this book was one of our lieutenants. That was Harry J. Costello.
Oh, he was with the machine gunners too?
Yeah, he was a machine gunner.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's the guy that compiled this book.
Mm-hmm.
And he was one of our lieutenants, and Jack O'Callaghan. There's a picture in this book of them two lieutenants together, Jack O'Callaghan and Costello.
What did you think of them?
They were very good.
Mm-hmm.
They were very good, and Costello was a wonderful man. We had Lieutenant Ballard was killed in action, and of course, we had a replacement lieutenant for him, and he wasn't so much thought of. He was a good lieutenant, all right, but he wasn't so much thought of as Lieutenant Ballard would get right out and drill with his men, just like one of the men.
Mm.
He'd get down and drill them just like one of the men. But this other lieutenant, he was more of a high class, and he was never
like to sit behind a desk. Did you ever have any encounters with Major Mike Donohue?
I seen him several times, but I never had any direct contact with him.
What did the men think of him?
A wonderful man. Mike Donohue was a wonderful man. Wonderful.
Okay, how about the American commander of the troops in Russia, Colonel Stewart?
They had not much to say. We were under English command.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to get their orders from the English. If we got a commander over that was higher rank than theirs, they would right away get a man in that was higher rank than he.
That was pretty clever. Did you ever see any of the British generals, like General Poole or General Ironside?
I seen General Ironside quite a few times. He'd pretty much have to stoop down there just standing in his room. He was a very tall man. And he'd have to stoop to go through one of these doors.
Wow. What did you think of him?
He was a pretty nice man. He was English, but he was a pretty fair man. And of course, the Americans up there didn't think too much of the English. You can imagine that. Being under English command, we didn't think too much of the English.
How much did you know about the purpose of the mission? You said before you were going to establish an Eastern Front. And what did you understand of the purpose to be for fighting the Bolsheviks?
That was hard to tell just what our purpose was there, to fight the Bolsheviks. See, the Bolsheviks was just a little kind of a disorganized group when we got there. And they was on the run for a while, but they soon got so they stood their grounds. They got organized better, and they stood their grounds pretty good.
Okay. When did you first encounter the Bolsheviks?
I was on the Kiddish Front before I myself, but some of our men, when they landed.
Yeah, I just met you personally, yeah.
Yeah, well, I was in the Kiddish Front before I came in contact with any of them.
So you were a Kodesh during the terrible battles around New Year's Day.
Oh, yes. I was in Kodesh on Christmas and New Year's. And
would you like to tell us about that battle?
Well, that's hard to say too much. You know, they don't like to say everything is seen.
Yeah.
And it was, we were down on by a little river, a small river, firing across, and they fired there for quite a while. Finally, we quit and was going to cross the river, and they opened up from across with one machine gun. That's all that they opened up with from over there then. And I came pretty close to getting it, but I didn't get hurt. And then we opened up again for another, probably for a half an hour with our machine guns, and then we went across the river up to the little town of Kodesh. And then we were stationed right in the little town of Kodesh for quite some time. Then the English sent up an order to burn the town. They said,
can I interrupt a second? At that time, were there any Russian peasants living in the village then?
I don't know if there were any living. There was none in when we got there.
Okay, go on then.
There was none in town, nobody living in town when we got there. We drove the Bolsheviks out.
Mm-hmm.
And occupied the town there for some time, and then the British sent up orders to burn the town. And then we had kerosene. They just doused the buildings with kerosene and set them afire, and we retreated back across the little river. And while we were in Kodesh, there was a line of us was going to make a little advance out, like skirmishers out in the woods. And looked up, and we happened to see it coming. You know, you can see one of them artillery when it gets pretty near spent. You can see it coming, that bullet. And we seen that and coming, just rolling end over end, and some couple of us hollered, and the rest just spread out like that, and that bullet landed right where we were standing. That artillery shell landed. Mm. It didn't explode. Yeah, that's where we was lucky. If it had, there wouldn't have been any of us left. And that, you know, the shells just, when they get pretty near spent, the back end of them starts down and they start just rolling like that as they come. And we see that in coming and we just ducked.
Yeah, so it turned somersaults in the air?
Just like somersaults in the air.
Mm. So So after you burned the village and retreated, after the village was burned?
We retreated back across that little creek, and we, in our old buildings, we built log buildings there to live in while we was up there.
Mm-hmm.
At first, we just had logs laid across, a bunch of logs, so that we could crawl under them to sleep, just like rabbits under a brush pile. We slept under that, and that's where we had to sleep with our machine guns. And see, we'd lay them up, and then they'd pile brush on top of that logs, and then more logs on that, so that if a shell hit on there, there'd be cushion enough that it wouldn't break down through where we were. And the same way on our building, log building that we built, there was probably 15 or 20 of us slept in that building. And then we built a big log mess hall where we ate in, and where the cooks were, and we ate in that. And the building that we were slept in, that had the double roof, had a log roof, and then brush piled on that, and then more logs on that, and more brush on that, so if a shell hit on top, there'd be cushion enough that it wouldn't break down through.
That's really great.
And we had to go down out in the woods and cut the logs, cut the trees down, cut the logs to build our own buildings out there in the front.
So when you weren't fighting, you were building.
That's what we were doing.
Did you, after you retreated from Kodesh, did you ever go back there again after it was burned?
No.
I didn't, no.
Some of the men did, some of them did, just went back to look it over and came back. All that was left, there was one little church. The church wasn't much bigger than, I doubt if it was hardly as big as this house. And this isn't very big. And that church wasn't burned. I don't know how it escaped, but that church wasn't burned. One of the big things of the Bolsheviks, they were trying to abolish all churches.
Yeah.
There's an article in this book about that. They were trying to get rid of all the churches. And of course that didn't set very good with us either.
Did you know about that at the time? What the Bolsheviks were?
Yeah,
while
you
were there?
We knew it. And that article from there down to there is destroyed churches. And they don't explain it too good there, but it tells something about it. They were trying to get rid of all churches and all of that. And another thing that they wanted to do was abolish marriage. They wanted to abolish marriage. And the women worked the same as the men, and if they was to have a baby, they had to work up till a certain length of time before the baby came, and then a certain length of time after that, and then they had to go back to work again. And that was just rumored, of course, that they were trying to abolish all marriage.
Yeah, probably.
Where did you hear those rumors from?
All the rumors flew free up there in that country.
What kind of machine guns were the Bolsheviks using to fight you?
I don't know just what they had, but they had pretty good machine guns.
Were they better than the Vickers guns?
No, I don't know if they were, unless they were air-cooled guns that they didn't have to have water in them.
I was wondering about the range that they had on their guns, if they could shoot further than the Americans.
I think they used about the same ammunition we did. 303.
What about replacements? If a machine gunner was killed, were there men that were trained that could replace?
We were all trained to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a gunner that sat back of the gun. Number two man lay right side of the gun to feed the ammunition, feed the belts in the gun. And then the ammunition carriers that carried ammunition up to the gun. And they were all trained that they were capable of handling a gun.
So were they were three men per gun?
There was more. There was generally about, there was eight men in a squad, and there usually was one machine gun for each squad. And the others, there was two men right at the gun at all times, and the others was carrying ammunition up. You had to carry it sometimes quite a ways. And
okay, what size detachments of the company usually worked? Was it a squad or a platoon?
Usually a platoon in a place. A platoon of the machine gun company, and that was, if I remember right, about four or five squads in a platoon, something like that. And
were the platoons ever divided up at all either?
Not the platoon itself.
I see.
Not as far as I knew. They weren't. Our platoon wasn't. Now, I don't know some about the others. We was divided up on so many different fronts up there. That's
true. But at CODIS, you had a lieutenant and a whole platoon of machine gunners there.
We had a whole platoon of machine guns on that front.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Are there any particular experiences at CODIS that you would like to tell us about?
Well, not too much. I was, when we got in there, there was quite a few, several bodies laying around in the town,
mm-hmm.
and several in the buildings, bodies that were in the buildings. I know one guy was right inside of a window. They were all log buildings, and apparently he was standing right inside of a window, and a shell landed right on the windowsill. And that guy, from his waist up, there wasn't a spot that big, but what, there was a hole in his body. That slivers from that log and the shrapnels in that shell and everything else, pieces of the shell and everything else, he was just full of there wasn't hardly a hole the size of a spot the size of a dollar bill, but what, there was a hole in his body. He never knew what hit him.
Yeah. So it was pretty bad up at CODIS, huh?
It was quite bad. And then when they burned the town, there was probably quite a few bodies laying around town there, and they just took them, picked them up, and put them in the buildings and burned the buildings. There was a couple of horses, dead horses, in the buildings that was killed in action. And they was burned up with the buildings.
And then was it in January that you were sent back to Archangel?
I would imagine so. Along the middle or latter part of January, we went back to Archangel. And we were back there for a couple, 3 weeks, something like that. Then we went back out to Railroad Front.
Mm-hmm.
And there we didn't see much. So we had a little firing, but not too much.
Okay. When you were in Archangel, how did the citizens there react to you?
They used us, as far as I seen, they used us pretty good. The general public used us pretty good. And, of course, I guess just before we landed there, they were used pretty rough by the Bolsheviks. So they was glad for anything that wasn't that way. And
okay, what were your first impressions of the city?
Well, I don't, it wasn't much of a town. It was more like a little backwoods town here. All the wooden buildings, log buildings, and sidewalks was just board sidewalks. And in places where the street sewers run out and right down a ditch underneath the sidewalks. And that was not all of it. Of course, in our barracks where we were, we had our latrine, our toilets, and that drained out into a big, big tank out in the ground. And every day or two, there was guys came there with droskies, what they call droskies, and tanks on that, pumped these tanks out into them and took them out in the fields and dumped it.
Sounds very nice. Was there any modern plumbing of any type in the town?
Well, they had, in the barracks where we were located there, when I got back to the company, they had regular toilets and big wash bowls and things like that. But as far as other plumbing, I couldn't say that it was very modern.
What were your first impressions of the people there?
Well, I'll tell you, the women did most of the work, and the men just walked the streets and argued. The men just walked down the streets and argued, and the women did cutting wood and things like that. And as far as industry was concerned, it was pretty much at a standstill when we got there. And fishing is their main industry up there. The fishing, and of course in the winter, they couldn't do much of that when it froze up so high. And there's pictures in the book where they, the pictures in there where the women went down to the river and cut holes through the ice to do their washing. They threw holes in the ice. That's how they did a lot of their washing, laundry.
I think the clothes would freeze.
I don't know how they could stand it, but they did.
How much did you know about the political situation in Archangel?
Well, not too much. I don't know too much about it. The political ideas was pretty much at a standstill, too, when we were in there. Russians took everything of any value. Everything of any value was taken out of the town, the Bolsheviks then. And as far as that's concerned, I don't know why we were there at all. And nobody ever has been able to answer that question that I know of.
Did you know that there had been a coup there the very night before you landed where the where the government in Archangel had been overthrown?
Well, we had ideas of it.
How did you?
We didn't know. Just rumors on the ship and things like that. That's all we knew.
And how about when you landed? Did you had any idea of that?
Well, from the looks of things, it did. It looked pretty much so. There was no, it was very much disorganized. And
Who seemed to be in control of the city? How did the city run?
Well, now I can't tell you too much of that. See, I landed in the hospital, and I, right from the hospital back to the company, and only there a short time, and I was out on the front line. I can't tell you much about that.
Okay, did you ever encounter any Bolsheviks in Archangel?
You couldn't tell who you was talking to, whether he was a Bolshevik or whether he was a peasant there, or what he was. You couldn't really tell.
Did you suspect that maybe the factory workers or some residents in the city might have been Bolsheviks?
They could have been.
But you didn't?
Because they all, I guess, left with the Bolsheviks. Most of the factory workers, I think, left with the Bolsheviks.
Mm. How about
whether they were left on their own or whether they were forced to, I don't know.
Yeah.
How about Bolshevik prisoners? Did you ever see any in Archangel? People that were arrested because they're Bolsheviks?
Or that we had captured Bolshevik prisoners? I see some of them. We see some of them, but not too many.
Do you have any idea how they were treated in Archangel?
They were fed well and clothed well and had billets to be in. They weren't treated too bad.
Who took charge of them, the British?
I don't know just which. I think the British had charge of that.
Uh-huh.
And we had a couple of guys. We had one guy from our company that was a prisoner of war in the Bolsheviks. And he was treated with royalty there.
George,
oh, he was really, he had the run of the town where they had him in. He had the run of, he could go out in the morning and go, be gone all day. All he had to do was be back there at night to sleep. And just had to report back at night. And he was just as free as he would be here in Muskegon.
Is that George Albers you're talking about?
The what?
Is that
George Albers, yes. And he got home before we did. And when we landed in Detroit, he was one of the first guys we seen there in Detroit when we landed there.
Did you have any idea that he had returned safely? Did you know?
We didn't know.
No, oh, I must have been
we
quite
didn't
surprised.
Know till we got back, and he was one of the first guys we seen when we landed in Detroit.
What had the British or your American commanders told you would happen to you if you were caught by the Bolsheviks?
I don't remember of that. They didn't.
Were you afraid of becoming a prisoner? Do you remember?
Never give me a thought. Never give it a thought too much.
No.
And we were there, and if we, that's all we knew about it.
Okay.
And it didn't worry me any.
What do you think that the people in Archangel wanted as their form of government?
Well, they wanted it pretty much. They liked our government pretty well. They didn't care too much for the English there, but they liked the Americans real well, better than any of the others. See, there was French and Italians and British there and the Americans. And they seemed to like the Americans the best of any of them.
Why do you think that was?
Well, I don't know about the others, only the British. If two or three British soldiers were walking down the sidewalk and met some Russians, they had to get off and walk out in the street. They couldn't walk on the sidewalk, the British. That happened a lot of times. The Russians had to get off the sidewalk. They couldn't even be on the sidewalk with them.
So you think then that the Russians wanted to model their form of government after the American form?
Well, I think they would have liked to head our form of government. As far as I could see, the general run of the public would have liked our form of government better than any of the other.
Why do you think that?
Because the way they acted towards the Americans and towards the other soldiers there.
So you left Archangel and went down to the railroad front.
We went out to the railroad front, and we had boxcars there, and we had blockhouses there that the Americans had built for us to be in. The blockhouses was about an eight-sided building, and each side of that, in each one of them sides, there was a loophole there to fire out through with the machine guns. And that's what we had to sleep in. We had pretty good sleeping quarters there. And all
better
that.
Than at Kodesh?
That was at, yes, better than at Kodesh.
Were you at Obozerskaya on the railroad
No,
front?
I wasn't up to, we was at Verst, what they called Verst 446.
Oh.
Now that's where we were stationed at. But I wasn't at Obozerskaya.
Okay. Did you participate at all in the Battle of Bolshezerki?
No, not at Bolshezerki. I wasn't there.
Okay, because some of the railroad
some of the others were, but I wasn't.
Okay.
Them two fronts, Kodesh and the railroad, was the only ones that I was really on.
Okay. How was the spring? That was during the spring and late winter you were on the railroad front, right?
Well, it was quite an experience, all right. I really enjoyed it up there. I didn't mind it too bad because I was used to the wide open spaces. I was raised on a farm and we was outdoors more than we was in. And We knew pretty much how to take care of ourselves in the cold.
Mm-hmm. Was it the fighting as severe there at verse 446 as it had been at Kodesh?
No, not near as bad as it was in Kodesh. We had a few little skirmishes there, but none so serious. Few artillery shells, burst overs, and things like that.
No, I don't think so. Better conditions on the front.
How common was frostbite?
No, both thumbs, my hands was quite frosted at one time. I went into the British first aid, that was right out on the front lines. Told him I'd frozen my hands. Ah, he says, they're not froze, they're just a little frost in them. He said. But it didn't do me any damage as far as that goes. It was just turning white.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was supposed to keep watch of everybody else. Your cheeks would start to turn white from the frost. Well, then you'd start working that spot to get circulation back. And if you've seen anybody with spots like that, you're supposed to tell them about it.
So was that very painful when you got your thumbs stuck?
Not too bad. Not too bad.
How was that when you had to use your thumbs on the machine gun?
Well, it just had two handles running up and down, one on each side of the back end of the gun, and then that button was right in between them. You just pushed on that button.
Was that very difficult when your thumbs were frostbitten?
Well, that was all out before I had any of that to do.
Oh, that's good. It wasn't so bad then. Did you think that your clothing was adequate?
We had pretty good clothing. We didn't get too cold. As far as I was concerned, I didn't get too cold. We had heavy underwear. We had heavy pants and a long coat, fur coat, that was fur lined. The outside was more like canvas and fur lined. And that hung pretty near to the ground, and one guy up there, I didn't see it, heard about it, where one guy had his both feet froze, that they had to amputate both feet. Now that's all I know about, that's what I heard, that he had both feet frosted, that he had to amputate both feet.
Why do you think that happened?
If I remember right, I think he was lost out in the woods for a bit and didn't get back till the next day. And I think that's the way that happened. I'm not sure. All I know about that, just rumors that we heard about that.
Okay. What about the food?
Well, we had pretty fair food, and of course it was canned. An awful lot of it was canned rations.
Mm-hmm.
The British had very good food in their billets, but the Americans had mostly canned rations. And M&V, they called it. That was meat and vegetables. And the meat was mutton.
Yeah.
And
did you like mutton?
Well,
suppose you got used to it.
If you get used to it, it ain't too bad. It wasn't too bad.
Did you get much variety
of food?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we had corned beef, canned corned beef, and we had times we had salmon, canned salmon a little. Not much. Most of it was just that M&V, meat and vegetables. And more vegetables than meat. There wasn't much meat in it.
Did you ever hear of any cases of malnutrition? Of men that didn't have enough to eat?
No, not really. They didn't have too much to eat, but they didn't starve or anything like that, but they didn't have too much to eat.
Did you feel like you had enough food to eat for the physical labor that you were asked to do?
Well, yeah, we had enough to eat, such as it was. We had enough to eat.
Okay. What about food poisoning? Did you ever hear of any spoiled food?
I never heard of any food poisoning all the time I was up there.
Okay. For Kodesh and for the railroad front, what were the sanitary conditions like?
Well, there were no sanitary conditions. They were just like out in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
Out in the woods, that's all.
Did you get many opportunities to bathe at all when you were on the front?
I was on the Kodesh front for 12 weeks that I was out there, and I never had my clothes off once during that. I never had my feet undressed all that time while I was out there on
the... The same pair of socks, huh?
Yeah. Well, at night, you didn't dare to take your shoes off and sleep without them, or they'd be frozen stiff in the morning.
Yeah.
You couldn't put them on. Yeah, for 12 weeks, never had to shave, change of bath, change of clothes or bath or anything. I seen one guy reaching his underwear like that, reaching like that. I bet you a quarter I got one. Yeah, I got a loss. I seen that happen more than once. They couldn't stand me. They never bothered me. I never, I guess just about the time we was relieved from the front, I got a few, but not many.
Did you still have to go through the delouser?
Oh yes. Yes, we had to go through the delouser.
Okay. Did you ever stay in a Russian family's home, a peasant's house?
Yeah, on our way between the railroad and the Kodesh front, we stayed in one of their homes. And they were very, very considerate. They were very good. They'd have given up their own beds for us. They would have slept anywhere they could to give us their beds.
That's great. Did you feel like the Russian peasants were just as friendly as the Archangel residents?
Well, what we've seen of them were.
So they were just about the same?
About the only peasants that we've seen, mostly. Just in that one town that we, between the railroad front and Kodesh, that's about the only place where I see many Russian peasants, other than in Archangel. And they seemed real friendly, very friendly.
Did the peasants' reactions to the American soldiers change at all, or did it remain the same all year long?
Well, they were pretty much, after they got acquainted with, they were pretty nice to the American soldiers.
You think it improved rather than...
I do. The longer we were there, I think the better they were to us.
Do you think that the Americans taking care of their medical care has helped at all?
If they could have got the medicine during that flu epidemic, they could have done very good. And when they got medicine, they done a lot better.
Did you ever hear of cases of the American Red Cross or the medical officers helping the Russian people?
Well, I guess they did.
Care?
If any of them was sick or anything, they took care of them as best they could.
Did you ever witness forced evacuation of villages?
No, what?
The forced evacuation of a village?
The only one was Kodesh. That was the only one.
Were you there when the peasants left their homes?
We was back firing into it. And when we got into it, they were all gone. There was nobody there. Only the dead ones.
So you never had to kick a family out of
the
house?
No.
I bet you're glad, right? We never had to do that. That wouldn't be much fun. Okay. Did you ever notice any difference between the peasants' attitudes toward the Americans or to the French or Canadians or British?
Well, not too much, but they were really friendly toward the Americans. I know that because I was one that they was pretty friendly towards. But the French and the Italians, I couldn't tell you how they were with them. I guess they used them all right, as far as I know.
So, who did you fight for? Except for the Americans. Did you fight with the White Russians at all?
We had a few of them on our front. We had a few of them on our front, the White Russians. Not many, but a few.
How did that go?
Well, the artillerymen, when it was on the riverfront, the artillerymen started shelling our own front lines at one time. But they soon got that stopped.
Who did that? The White Russians?
There was the White Russians. And they must have got their orders mixed up. They phoned orders back to them to shell a certain position, a certain place, and they shelled back in our position instead.
Did they hurt anybody?
No, there was nobody that I know of that got hurt.
Oh, that's good. Did that affect feelings between the...
Well, it didn't set too good for a while, but they got by with it.
Did the Americans feel like they could trust their allies?
They seemed to, pretty much. Up there, the Russians and Archangel, they seemed to trust them pretty good. But the Bolsheviks, of course, that was different. We didn't get... They were way out in the woods. And of course, in Archangel, you couldn't tell who was Bolshevik-minded and who wasn't. If you talked to them, of course, we couldn't talk too much with them because we didn't know their language.
Did you fight with the Royal Scots or the Canadians or?
No, we didn't. Not where I was. There was some of them up there, but they wasn't. Not where I was. There was none of them on the front where I was.
While you were at Kodesh, for example, what did you know about what was going on at the other battle fronts?
Not too much.
So there wasn't very good contact between them?
The officers would get it by phone and things like that. They would get word, but the fighting men didn't get too much of it.
Did you ever encounter any Bolshevik propaganda?
That came in there by the bundles. There was Bolshevik propaganda. That was free up there. They bring it in there by the armloads. How it got in there, I don't know, but it was all over town.
Is this an Archangel you're talking about? Or?
Yes, an Archangel, and even some of it out on the front lines. You'd see it stuck up in trees, in the crotch of a tree. You'd see a bundle of papers up there, and that was mostly Bolshevik propaganda.
Do you remember what it said?
I can't tell you now. It was just that been so long ago, but they wanted us to come over on their sides and all that, and what their Bolshevik, what their theory was and all that. And we didn't want any of it anyway.
It was written in English then and directed at the soldiers?
It was written in English, printed in English. So they must have had some folks over in their lines that could print the English papers. Of course, now that they might have been forced to print that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. Mm-hmm. And I know after we'd have skirmishes a lot of times and drive the Bolsheviks back, pretty soon you'd hear machine guns back of their lines just roaring the machine guns. And our theory was that any of theirs that retreated, they'd just mow them down. Now, that was our theory. Of course, we don't know, but that was the idea that we had. Mm-hmm. That any of them did dare back up. If it was, they'd back up into their own machine guns. That's in that book.
Yes.
There's an article in that book about it.
Yeah. So the propaganda that the Bolsheviks had no effect on the soldiers?
It just made them that much more hostile, if anything.
I see. Okay, did the British also employ propaganda?
If they had propaganda?
The British, did they employ propaganda as a means of raising the morale of the troops or anything like that?
Well, they couldn't have, the British couldn't have raised the morale of the Americans, anyway. But they had some propaganda, of course, but not so much. It was all Bolshevik propaganda, most of it. And
why couldn't the British have raised the propaganda of the Americans?
Because the Americans had such a low opinion of the English.
Uh-huh.
That's why they couldn't have did much to help the Americans in that.
Okay. Do you know, have any idea how Bolshevik prisoners at the front were treated?
No, I don't. I didn't see any about at the front lines. But when they got them back in the Archangel, and I guess they were treated as good as could be, as good as possible.
Did you ever hear any, hear or witness any atrocities by the, either the Bolsheviks or the Allies?
Well, when we was out on the front, one night, down at that, between our front and the Kurdish front, there was a orator came out on that bridge, and boy did he talk, and he'd holler, "Americans! Americans!" And finally one of the Americans hollered, "Where in the hell are you?" Well, then that fellow knew that we heard him,
mm-hmm.
and he opened up with his propaganda, and boy did he talk there for about an hour. Of course, we couldn't see him, it was dark.
Uh-huh.
And he was, he really talked. He was a good talker. Talked there for about an hour on the bridge. Finally, he went back.
And we let him talk, and nobody tried to do anything about it?
If you'd have, they was probably prepared. What we was afraid of, they was prepared. If we'd have opened up with a shot down that way, they would have saw the flash of that gun.
Mm-hmm.
Then they'd have known right where we were.
I see.
So we didn't dare open up with anything.
Okay. How about atrocities, though, by either side? Did you ever witness anything like any
mutilated bodies?
Any what?
Things that were just actually inhuman treatment of
the enemy.
Yeah, the
I didn't see anybody inhumanly treated myself.
Uh-huh.
Some of them were, but I didn't see it. I know one night, as I heard it, Bolshevik got tangled up in the barbed wire outside of a French blockhouse. And he was a-moaning and a-hollering and a-moaning, hollering out there till the Frenchman couldn't sleep. He got mad and got up and took an axe and went out and knocked his brains out and went back in and went to sleep. See, those French and the Italians that were up there had went through the Western Front. They had been through it there. And they were really war-hardened. And some of the British had been through on the Western Front.
The Royal Scots?
Yeah.
The what?
The Royal Scots, were they called?
I don't know if they were or not, but the British were.
Okay. When did you first receive news that the armistice had been signed?
It was way after Christmas, before we really heard about it.
Uh-huh.
And
how did you find out about that? Were you in Archangel at the time when you found out?
I think it was about time we left the front lines, or about time those from came back to relieve us to go back to Archangel. I think they're the ones that brought us the word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was in January.
I think that was in January.
Okay. How did you feel when you found out that the armistice had been signed?
Well, I don't know. Just there wasn't much that we could do about it.
Uh-huh.
And we just was under the British rules, and our officers had to take orders from the British, and that was all there was to it.
Did you feel that there was any hope that you would be going home soon because of it?
That we didn't have any idea at all, because they couldn't get us out until the waters opened up so they could get in there with ships to get us out. See, it was froze up so, it was frozen so high that their ships couldn't get in there. The transports couldn't get in there to get us out.
Okay, how did the men feel about continuing to fight after the war had already been over?
Well, I couldn't say. They just, there wasn't much they could do about it.
Did they grumble?
Not too much. Mm-hmm. Not too much. You didn't hear too much grumbling about it. They took it in their stride and let it go at that.
What was their outlook on the war at that time, or the Russian situation?
Well, they had, their hatred was towards so much towards the Bolsheviks that they would just as soon have went out and did some more fighting, as far as that goes, because their hatred was so strong towards the Bolsheviks.
Okay. So you never heard any rumors of mutinies or, you know, uprising or anything like that, did you?
There's an article in that book about one company that did.
Well,
kind of refused a little bit to go, but within a couple hours' time, that was all settled and all clear.
Had you ever heard anything about that while you were over there?
A very little.
Uh-huh.
A very little we heard about it when we was over there.
Okay. Did you ever receive any letters from home that mentioned newspaper articles they had read about the expedition in North Russia?
No. No, we didn't get much of that, not in my mail.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the guys did get paper clippings and things like that, but I didn't get any of those.
Did you ever read any of those paper clippings?
I read a few of them.
Were they accurate reports?
Apparently, they were pretty accurate reports.
Uh-huh. Was your mail censored?
Oh, yes.
Outgoing and incoming mail, both?
The mail coming to us wasn't censored near as close as that going out.
Uh-huh.
But the mail going out from us going coming to this country, you had to be awful careful of what you wrote. If you didn't, they'd just cut out a piece right out of the... And if you had anything wrote on the other side, that was cut out too. So that...
Yeah.
It just ruined the whole thing.
Did they ever tell you why you had to be censored?
No, that question has never been answered yet, why we went to Russia. So far as I know, that question never has been answered.
What kind of things would they censor in your mail? Would it be just, you know, war news or any? If you complained about anything, for example, the food or something, was that censored?
I think it was.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if I ever had any of my mail censored. But had any of it cut out, but I don't know,
Did they tell you what you were allowed to say and what you weren't allowed to say, or did you just have
well,
to?
Well, to a certain extent, they did. I know one guy wrote a letter home, and you hold it up like that, and it looked like a screen door. Everything about all he had was the opening and closing of his letter was about all he had. He asked him what he wanted to do with it, and he said, put it in the envelope and send it. And they sent it.
Oh, that would be funny, getting a letter like that to your mom, love, Bill.
Well, the folks that know at home just about what things were, just from that, they'd know a whole lot of what things were like up there. They'd know that things wasn't too good. If it was too good, he wouldn't have wrote anything like that.
I still don't understand why you had to be censored.
Why we had to be censored?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if those letters, if you wrote anything, and those letters fell into the hands of an enemy, if you wrote anything that would be of assistance to them, and those letters fell into the hands of the enemy, that would help them out. That was a whole lot of it. And if anything really serious going on over there, they wouldn't want the folks at home to know about it until we got back and told them ourselves.
The mail that you received that was censored, do you have any idea what kind of things that they would censor in incoming mail?
No.
Did they ever censor newspaper clippings that you know?
I don't know about that. Yeah. But they never, none of my mail that I got was ever censored. I guess the folks here, my folks, just knew pretty near what they could write and what they couldn't write. And
okay, did you ever read the American Sentinel while you were in Archangel?
Yes, I seen a couple of them. If I remember right, I seen a couple of them and read a little in them.
Do you have any idea if the British censored that newspaper or not?
I couldn't say as to that. I didn't see enough of it to know hardly what it was.
How about the YMCA? Did you ever have any dealings with them in northern Russia?
We went over to the Y to do our writing, for writing letters and all that, and they used us very good. We were treated very good at the Y.
How about the Red Cross?
The Red Cross was good, but they didn't have any Red Cross hut that I got in there. But the Red Cross man was out on the front lines, and a YMCA man came right in our front lines, had a Victrola and records, and he'd come out and play that for us and give us a little entertainment that way at times. But it had to be on a quiet day when he'd do that, not when there was any shooting going on.
And the Salvation Army?
Yeah, they were very good. The Salvation Army, so far as I knew, they were very good.
Did you ever paint for anything at the YMCA?
Pay for anything?
Yes.
No.
Everything that you got was free from them.
Everything, paper was there, and everything there, and all we had to do with the top of the letters, write soldiers' mail, and instead of a stamp, just write soldiers' mail. And we got everything in there while it was free.
Cigarettes and everything?
Cigarettes, yeah. Not a lot of them, but they'd give us a pack of cigarettes when they'd bring. And about every so often they'd come around to our barracks and hand out a few cigarettes. And the YMCA guy and those, when they come out the front line like that, they'd always be loaded down and give the guys a packet to his cigarettes.
So as far as you know, then, there was no corruption in any of those three organizations?
No, as far as I know.
They're just there to serve you, huh?
Yeah, it was all very good.
Okay. How did you spend your holidays, Christmas, Thanksgiving?
We had got a log building built for us to sleep in up there, and we had a mess hall. The mess hall was probably twice as big as this building where we ate in. Well, we all met in there, and any of them had any poems or anything that they could recite, or they sang Christmas carols, and there's an article about that in the book, too.
You were at Cotis then, though, right?
That was at Cotis, yes.
Uh-huh.
And we sang Christmas carols, and I don't remember what our dinner was the next day, but it was just a regular, ordinary army dinner.
Oh, nothing special at all?
Nothing special at all.
Oh, that's too bad.
So when you were over there, as far as you could tell, the purpose of the expedition was just to fight, to establish an Eastern Front, right?
That's what they told us, and to guard the ammunition that was stored there, that had been stored there, but the ammunition was all gone. The Bolsheviks had it.
And did your orders came down to you from the British?
Yeah.
At the time that you were in Russia, did you know that American troops were put under British command on the condition that they stay out of the Civil War?
No.
That President Wilson, the Supreme Commander of the Army, said that the American troops could only fight the Germans.
Well, we didn't fight the Germans.
So you didn't know that when you were over there?
No, we didn't know that when we was up there.
Did any of the men ever feel suspicious about the legality of the orders that the British gave them?
Well,
did you ever?
The Americans had to do about all of the front line work. The British sat back in Archangel. Most of them, there was a few British got out, but most of the Americans were, the Americans did the brunt of the fighting.
Did the Americans ever wonder, not just yourself, maybe your friends or anybody you talked to, did they ever wonder if America really knew what was going on or if America liked what the British were making them do?
I don't know. That I don't know.
Okay. How did you feel personally about interfering in Russia's internal affairs?
Well, on all of those wars over there, I always figured we should let them fight their own battles. But on that big front in Germany, if we would have, first thing we'd know the Germans would have been over here too.
Mm-hmm.
Because they'd battle them countries down, them countries over there couldn't do it. They couldn't handle it alone without our help. And if they got them licked, then they'd have been over here after us.
So you feel that the Americans were justified to go into Russia to fight the Germans?
Well, I don't think we had any reason to go up in Russia, whatever.
Oh.
Now that's what I don't think, that we had any reason to go up in Russia, whatever.
So you feel it was unjustified?
I think it was unjustified all the way through.
Did the British direction of the expedition affect the morale of the troops?
Well, I don't know as it did too much. The Americans was too strong on their own ideas. I don't think that the British had too much effect on the morale of the Americans.
Okay. Several accounts of the expedition claim that the British used the Americans for their own purposes, that they placed excessive hardships on them to pressure Washington into sending more troops over so they could expand the expedition.
Well, no, I don't know about that. I couldn't say about that. They didn't, as far as I'm concerned, we had plenty of food, plenty of clothes and all that, and only thing is, I think they should have spent more British out on the front lines than they did. But
how did you feel about the number of troops? Because the Americans were greatly outnumbered by the Bolsheviks.
Oh,
how did that make you feel?
About 10, 15, sometimes as much as 20 to 1 that they were outnumbered.
Mm-hmm.
But they still came out on top. We lost an awful lot of men, but we still came out on top.
What do you mean by that?
Well, we didn't lose out. We didn't have to back up too much.
I'm not quite sure I understand it, man.
What?
I'm not quite sure I understand what you mean. Well, eventually you had to evacuate, right?
Well, we evacuated because they wanted to get us out of that country.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that we were licked or anything like that.
I see.
We weren't licked or anything like that, but they...
But you didn't lick them either.
No, we didn't lick them.
Okay.
It was just a draw.
It
was just a draw.
Looking back, do you have any understanding at all about the purpose of the mission?
Well, I couldn't say what it was for. I couldn't figure why we went up there, never could.
Does this affect your feelings towards America at all?
Did what?
Does this affect your feelings towards America?
No.
To England?
This is my country.
Mm-hmm. What about to England? Did it affect your feelings towards England?
England, well, we didn't have too much love for the English when we were there in England. After in Russia, we did. The English soldiers tried to tell us that the beauty of the world lied in England, that the American beauty is all painted on. And of course, we had a lot of married men in our outfit, and that didn't set too good with them. Their wives was in this country, and pretty nice looking women, and they, the English tried to tell us that the beauty of the world lied in England.
They were a little prejudiced, huh?
Well, I never see any of the beauty of the world in England while I was there. But, might have been, you see, we were just in camp, and we went about 3 miles from our camp. We'd walk up there at night, get a few beers and something like that, and back. And I didn't, I don't know, the Americans didn't have too much love for the British.
Do you think that the experience perhaps made you more patriotic?
Well, it didn't make any less.
Okay. Did your experience in North Russia affect your outlook on life at all?
No, I don't know as it did. Not too much.
Did it affect you in any way? Did you feel like you were changed when you came back?
No. I really enjoyed getting back, that's for sure. And then I went back on the farm, farmed for a few years, and then after around 29 or 30, right around in that time, I came to Muskegon, and worked in a foundry for a while, went back and farmed a couple of years, and then I came back to work at the Muskegon camshaft, making automobile camshafts.
When you were in Russia, when did you first discover that you were coming home?
Well, that's hard to tell. There was rumors of it from Christmas time on. There was rumors, but they couldn't get in with any ships to get us out. It was froze up so hard that they couldn't get in with any ships to get us out.
Did you ever wonder about Murmansk? There was that other port, a little north, Mermans. That was ice-free.
Yeah, well, the only way they could have got us there by rail, and we'd had to went right through Bolshevik country to get there.
Yeah. Or Androsky, because that's where your mail came.
Yeah.
And if your mail could get through, I think that the men could too.
Yeah, the mail came through from Murmansk. Mm-hmm. That's where, if I remember right, George Albers, prisoner, was taken to Murmansk, and that's where he was, and then he was shipped home from there. Hmm. And he was home quite a while before we was.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, not that I would think of right now.
When you got home, how did people react to...
Well, they were really friendly, and everybody was happy to see us. It was happy to see us home.
Had they heard much about the expedition? Did they know what really went on?
Not well. They had just what they got in the papers. That's that. That was all.
Was there much in the papers about it that was, didn't tell much?
I don't think it was too much in the papers before we got home.
When you were over in Russia, did you ever hear word that they were lobbying in front of Congress to try and get you home?
We heard rumors of that. Uh-huh. Yeah, we heard rumors of those things.
Okay. I think that's about it, unless you have anything else.
No, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah. Well, I don't think you got much information.